You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. On day 17 of our journey to the heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, I talk about the Magi. Remember the text in Matthew 2:2? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Well, no single tradition is more widely adhered to during the Christmas season than the tradition of giving gifts. This tradition is firmly rooted in the biblical account of the Magi who saw a star in the east and came to worship Jesus Christ. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Despite its biblical basis, gift-giving has been vigorously challenged by followers of Herbert W. Armstrong, as well as organizations such as the Watchtower Society. Now, their basic argument is that Magi means astrologers, and that God would never lead his people to give gifts at Christmas on the basis of astrology. In response, it should be first noted that even if the Magi did practice astrology, the Bible makes it crystal clear that the wise men were led by God, both by means of the star which guided them to Christ and by means of the warning that kept them from returning to Herod. Furthermore, contrary to the practice of astrology, which involves divination and attempts to predict the future apart from God, the star that the Magi followed was used to foretell the future, no, to foretell the future, yes. In other words, the Star of Bethlehem did not prophesy the birth of Christ, it pronounced the birth of Christ. And then finally, it's interesting to note that contrary to popular tradition, the Magi were not necessarily three kings. While Matthew's gospel narrative does teach that wise men visited Jesus and his parents shortly after his birth, Matthew never specifies how many wise men there were in the first place. The traditional belief that there were three originated from the fact that they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Consequently, while the biblical account is consistent with the possibility of three wise men, there's no strong biblical or extra-biblical evidence to support that numbering. And neither, for that matter, is there any biblical support for the naming of the Magi. Tradition, beginning sometime in the 6th century, named those wise men. But as with the numbering of the Magi, these names should be attributed to folklore and tradition rather than historical fact. On the one hand, the exchanging of gifts can be dangerous in that gift-giving has a powerful potential for promoting crass materialism. On the other hand, the giving of gifts reinforces the reality that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this Christmas season, may you and I be ever more mindful that the greatest gift we can give to another human being is the gift of a relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. When he enters the human heart, everlasting life becomes a present reality. Again, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for this season, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Know what you are worshiping, what you are celebrating this Christmas season. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, speak to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI for your gift. We'll send you the Heart of Christmas. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Sam, listening on Bot Radio in Kansas. Hi, Sam.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Thank you. I'm getting kind of frustrated, I guess, because the only understanding I've really had was listening to a lot of them Word of Faith teachers, and I feel, one, lied to, and that I was ultimately sad that I've even encouraged anybody to watch it. The speaking in tongues and just all the other things that they do. But thankfully God, led me away from that. But ultimately I'm still frustrated in understanding, from the truth from what the lie, that I grew up with, really. What I feel is a lie. I bought your eschatology book, the Apocalypse Code. And so I'm kind of getting started in that yet. I guess I want to get a better grip of how to understand the Bible, how to go about reading it.
Well, you got the right book, because that is the intent of the book. The intent of the book is to teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I've also done a little flip chart on that very subject as well that might be very helpful to you, which is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
All right. I'm going to have to take a look at that. I'm constantly just staying up at night. It bothers me so much that, I can't sleep. I'll start reading the Bible and something will pop into my head, and I'll have to go look it up on the internet, and I don't know who to trust.
It's so important to discern between truth and error, between wheat and chaff and heat and light. And that takes discernment skills. That's what this ministry is all about, is to teach people how to do that, how to discern. This is a discernment ministry. So the tools that I'm talking about are available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We have a little flip chart that teaches people how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And I think the book, The Apocalypse Code, will help you in that endeavor as well.
Okay. Just stay reading it then.
Yeah, and use the Bible as your guide. God has spoken. The Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Of course, if that is true, if God has spoken, the attendant question becomes, what has God said? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. And that is both an art and a science. It's a science in that certain rules apply. It is an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. Good talking to you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bart. He's listening in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Bart.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, Hank. You and I have disagreed on, we haven't talked before, but God bless you. But as a brother in the Lord, I give you the right to disagree with me. And
as long as I do it agreeably.
I was going to even ask you, have you had different things develop in your understanding over time that say you believed 10 years ago that maybe in your research or in your study or even in your experience with the Holy Spirit, God has led you to maybe change a viewpoint?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I think that one of the things we have to humbly recognize as human beings that love Jesus Christ is that we are very limited. If I were to draw a circle on a blackboard, and if I were to then put a dot in that circle representing the extent of my knowledge, that dot would be very, very small. And I think that's the way we all have to recognize we are limited. Now, there are main and plain things of the Scripture that I would never waver on. They are the essentials for which the martyrs shed their blood. There are secondary issues that we can debate and discuss vigorously, and as a result of that, iron sharpens iron, and just as you learn, I will learn.
Amen. Well, my question was, and I've just come across this teaching in the last couple years, and I actually Wikipedia'd it to see what maybe in the common man's understanding that the ministry of Jesus, the length of it. And surprisingly, it said 1 to 3 years. And in my study, I've seen some application of the one-year theory. And one of the I wouldn't say the key texts, but there's a couple that I would look at. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus's message in the synagogue there in Nazareth, he preached that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And, you know, I know that can mean a time frame, but on a practical level, could it have been 1 year that the nation of Israel had to recognize their Messiah?
Well, no, I don't think. And again, I think this is one of the principles in the art and science of biblical interpretation. Jesus, along with the New Testament writers, continually point back to Old Testament verses, Old Testament passages, and therefore we want to read those Old Testament passages in context. And I think both the context of the Old Testament passage and the way in which Jesus Christ is using that passage is not to give a duration of the length of his ministry. I think that if you want to have some insight with respect to the duration of the ministry of Jesus Christ, perhaps the Gospel of John, which strongly suggests 3 years based on the times that he goes to Jerusalem. In other words,
well, there's one time, I want to say it's in chapter 6, 7, or 8, where it speaks of Passover, a feast of Jews' night, and you see Jesus in Capernaum not going up. And that would be breaking the law, and we know he was born in the fullness of time under the law, and he didn't break the law. That's why he could be the perfect sin offering that the law required. As a male Jew, he would have to go up to three festivals every year, Passover, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, and then Feast of Tabernacles. The others are optional. And you see him in Capernaum, and you also see the feeding of the 5,000 with barley loaves. There would have been no barley loaves in the land at that time. The Jews got all
the... Yeah, Bart, here's the bottom line here. I don't want to belabor this point, but the passage that you pointed to, I don't think gives you a chronology or gives you the time frame for Christ's ministry. I think there are other time indicators that do. But again, as you've pointed out at the in the prologue to the question, this is one of those issues that people can debate vigorously. But ultimately, we want to go to the historical and biblical evidence that gives us some kind of a radar fix on this. And to that extent, I commend you for your search for knowledge and for truth. Want to go back to the phone lines? Let's talk next to Jonathan in Miami, Florida. Hi, Jonathan.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate your ministry, and you're a great man in the faith. And I've been studying the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. Earlier on in my Christian life, my pastor said, once saved, always saved, if truly saved. And I know back in the past that your parents are Calvinists and that you didn't really agree with it. So I just wanted to know if you could shed some light on that particular doctrine.
Well, I think Calvinism is a system, and therefore the notion of perseverance of the saints cannot be segmented from the system. It is a system that is congruent, and you have to embrace it as a whole. That is not to say that there are not other systems that hold to a similar idea. There are similar ideas, and that similar idea would be once saved, always saved, as you put it, if indeed you are truly saved. Now, I would say that I hold to that doctrine. I do hold that once saved, always saved is true, because the moment that you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everlasting life. And the one who gives you everlasting life is the one who not only justifies you, but also the one who sanctifies you and one day will glorify you. Therefore, my contention has always been that the Lord's trees are evergreen on the basis of passages in which we see the praise of God for the confidence that we can have that he who began a good work in you will carry on that good work to the time of its completion.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. I've written about this in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You might still be able to get this in, but I can send you a personalized copy for your gift of $100 or more to a family member or a friend, someone that you want to give a meaningful gift to this Christmas, a way of equipping you, and a way of providing for a ministry that is reaching people for time and for eternity. Do remember, we do what we do because truth matters. We don't do it because it is popular. We don't do it because it is politically correct. We don't do it because it is good for business. We do it because truth matters. And we stand on that principle no matter what the cost, because we believe that ideas have consequences, and therefore it is crucial that we know that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and therefore it is our guide for doctrine and practice. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Believe it or not, even Santa can be saved. Far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus, in reality, is an anglicized form of the Dutch name Sinterklaas, which in turn is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century. According to tradition, St. Nick not only lavished gifts on needy children, but also valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. At the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years. And we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you have been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Let's talk next to Brent, listening on KCIV in Turlock, California. Hi, Brent.
Mr. Hanegraaff, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
I talked to an old friend of mine, and I guess it's been a while, and in the interim, they have gotten involved with this religious science, or they said the new name of it is United Center of Spiritual Living. And I don't know anything about it, but it kind of raised some red flags. And
yeah, it should. I mean, this is a very dangerous form of a mind science cult, which teaches that man and God are essentially one essence. It teaches that the essence of all belief systems or structures are the same. It teaches that every man is an incarnation of God, and not only so, but that we are divine, ontologically divine. It also does not differentiate between Jesus and other people, believing that Jesus himself did not consider himself different from other people. Whereas in reality, Jesus Christ, in biblical vernacular, came into time and space, and when he did, he voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity without divesting himself of a single attribute of deity. So the mind science cults pervert essential Christian doctrine at its very root and core, and as such are very dangerous. Now, obviously, it's important to understand the deviations because you can use them as springboards or opportunities for sharing the truth and life and grace that only comes through Jesus Christ.
Okay, do you have any information on that I can, you know?
Yeah, just go to our website at equip.org. That would be helpful also in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. You can get some information as well. I've written about this in principle in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which deals with New Thought metaphysics and a lot of the mind science ideas in the beginning of the book.
That's Christianity in Crisis?
21st Century.
Okay, Christianity in Crisis. Do you deal with the United Center for Spiritual Living in particular?
Well, I deal with it in principle. If you want the particulars, hang on. We can help you off air.
Because they've kind of become a minister in this thing. So they're in it kind of deep.
Yeah, and completely incompatible with Orthodox Christianity.
Okay, Christianity in Crisis,
21st century. Yeah, I mean, that's not the essence of the book, but it deals with it in part with the mind science cults. But I think if you want specific information, hang on. You can get it on the web, or we can give it to you if you hang on right now.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call, Brent. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Thank you. Hey, I've wondered for a really long time, and I don't really know how to go about studying and finding out or really researching myself how to figure out what my spiritual gift is. And, you know, fruit of the Spirit that I think each of us as Christians has. So how would I really go about finding that out so I can accept it and do it on purpose, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to figure out what your spiritual gift is, and you do that over time. I mean, as you spend time in the Word of God and in prayer and in the spiritual disciplines, you will discover that you have a gift, and in various places in the Scripture, those gifts are actually delineated, like in Romans chapter 12. There's the gift of prophesying, not in the sense of foretelling the future, but in the sense of forthtelling, edifying, and equipping the body of Christ by being able to expand and expound on the teachings of Scripture. There's also the gift of encouragement. There's the gift of teaching, the gift of serving, the gift of leadership, the gift of service, the gift of mercy. So there are different gifts that are delineated. As you practice the Christian life, you find those gifts by actually exercising your gift in dealing not only with unbelievers, but dealing with the body of Christ within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. So it's a matter of exercising spiritual disciplines that lead you to your spiritual gift.
Okay. What would you recommend that I do, you know, to... Because like I say, I want to do it on purpose. I want to... you know, embrace it.
Yeah. Well, here's what you do.
Who God wants me to be.
Here's what you do. I mean, it always gets back, and a lot of people are looking for exotic answers, but it gets back to basics. It means that you get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. That is a key doorway to discovering and developing your spiritual gift. Secondly, it means that you understand what true prayer is, not a means of extracting things from a capricious God, but rather a means by which you can build a relationship with the lover of your soul. So as you meditate on the Word of God, you find the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. Thirdly, it means that you need to get engrossed and enveloped in effective church life as a reproducing disciple maker. So it means you have to find a healthy, well-balanced church and then become involved in that church. And as you do, you will discover your spiritual gift in a very pragmatic way. As you interact with others within the context of the body, you're going to find out that some of us are a nose and some of us are an eye and another is a foot, that we all have different gifts according to the grace given us. And we discover those gifts through interaction within the fellowship of saints. And then it means also that you go out and you involve yourself in discipleship, whereby you learn how to communicate what you believe and why you believe and who you believe. Now, you may find in that process that you are a gifted evangelist. You may also find that you're not necessarily gifted at evangelism. That, of course, does not mean that you shouldn't be involved in the practice of evangelism. Same thing with giving. In Romans chapter 12, there's a gift of giving, but you can't say, well, Lord, I do not have that gift. I don't have the gift of giving, so pastor, don't count on me for giving any money to the church this year. I just don't have that gift. The fact that you don't have that gift does not mean that it is not a responsibility. But you also do discover that you have various gifts, but it is within the context of the fellowship of the saints as well as through prayer and through meditation on the Word of God.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. The answer, again, is getting back to basics. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Mike listening in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I had a question about an author. My wife and I was in church, and we had a guest speaker preacher come in, and my wife had asked him a couple questions, and just based on things that I've been seeing, and our current pastor plus him has seen, he believes that she has the gift of intercessory prayer. So he recommended we get some books and help her, you know, further that gift by reading and stuff, but he didn't recommend any authors. And so I got on the internet, tried to find some authors out, and I came across a book by a guy named Dutch Sheet called Intercessory Prayer, and it seemed like it was a pretty good seller, and I had several good reviews about it, and I got the book, and I started to read it before her, and I made it about 20 pages into it, and I just felt this like kind of like a check in my spirit, and I started questioning whether or not he's a very valid guy to be studying on. So I got on the internet, looked around a little more, and I found that he seems to be linked with a group, new apostolic revivalists or revolutionists or something, and they seem to be some pretty bad people from what I read about them, but I couldn't find any definitive information on him teaching and doing exactly all the things that they're being considered quote-unquote false prophets, just that he seems to be affiliated with them. So can you tell me, do you know about that book and this particular gentleman?
Well, I haven't read that particular book, but I do know about Dutch Sheets. And he is a classic Word of Faith teacher, and I don't recommend him, not only because of his affiliation and teaching commensurate with Word of Faith doctrine, but also because of his counterfeit revivalist activities. In principle, I've written about both those things in a book called Counterfeit Revival and a book called Christianity Crisis, 21st Century. So again, okay. He is not a minister or ministry that I would recommend. I would say this, I've written a book on prayer that I think could be extraordinarily helpful. It's called The Prayer of Jesus, and it is available through the Ministry of Christian Research Institute. It has a study guide in it as well. Again, The Prayer of Jesus is a book that I wrote around the year 2000. I think it's extraordinarily helpful in teaching people the meaning of prayer as well as the model prayer as demonstrated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay. So that would kind of help her further her understanding of the intercessory prayer?
Absolutely, it would, yes.
Okay. Can I ask another quick question, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know a real good, like, current book on apologetics, or have you written one to help against, like, I have a stepdad that's an atheist, and he sometimes comes to me with questions, and I've actually felt like God's led me pretty well to answer his questions. And we've had a discussion all the way up to the point of creation where I could not prove to him that God exists. And I have heard what you've said before about him being the first source of creation without a source or something. And I tried to talk with him about it, and it just got to a point where it wasn't going anywhere. And I was wondering if you might have a book that I could read on that also as well.
I do. It's called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. There's also a shorter version of the book called Fatal Flaws.
And that then what was the other one? Face of
The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution.
Farce of Evolution. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that book would be extraordinarily helpful for you, because what it does is it breaks this whole issue, the issue of origins, into bite-sized, easily memorable chunks. So you understand what the consequences are of philosophical naturalism and the evolutionary paradigm, and then you understand why evolution simply does not stand in an age of scientific enlightenment. And it shows that creation does stand on the basis of the evidence, and it gives you not only the consequences for believing the wrong thing, but the pragmatic and practical ways in which you can communicate and relate those things which stand up in the arena of ideas when it comes to the issue of origins.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Yeah, my book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, you can find all these resources on the World Wide Web at equip.org, a great place to do your Christmas shopping. We'll rush the book or the books or the materials you're looking for out to you right away.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies?
The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. Now available in softcover, you can order by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going online to equip.org. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. We encourage you to become a Bible Answer Man support team member through a monthly giving commitment. To thank you, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. For more information on a simple way to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. What is it about wills and trusts that makes us uncomfortable? I've heard it said that a charitable estate plan may be the single greatest act of stewardship in our entire life. It's both a privilege and a responsibility to be taken seriously. The Christian Research Institute is delighted to provide an estate plan organizer on our website that makes this process both informative and easy. Once you've filled out the organizer, you can have it reviewed for any suggestions or additional assistance, and you can receive a referral to a Christian attorney in your state that can help you put the documents in place at a reduced rate. To have our friends at PhilanthroCorp contact you to see if a gift annuity is right for you, go to our website at www.equip.org and click on the Donate Now button, and then click on Planned Giving. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to your questions. Next up is Noah, listening on XM 170 in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hi, Noah.
Hi, brother. May the Lord bless your work.
Thank
and your
you.
Patience. I just called regarding a book that I was reading recently that was given unto me like 2 years ago, and I finally decided to read the book, which is the author is Kenneth C. Davis. He's a historian, and I want to know if you're familiar with the book, which is so controversial, and it has so much information that I think is so negative for believers.
Well, it is, because he's theologically liberal, and he takes a secular approach to the Bible, very much like Bart Ehrman does. Bart Ehrman has become very popular by the same kind of books and reasoning, which I codify as fundamentalism from the left. And as a result of that, he misreads the Bible and makes all kinds of assertions which are ridiculous, quite frankly. They're not historically or biblically plausible. So Davis, for example, argues that Jesus said he came from Nazareth, therefore he wasn't born in Bethlehem, and that there's no valid historical reason for his parents to be in Bethlehem. Therefore, he couldn't be the Messiah, because Jewish scripture said the Messiah that was to lead Israel would come from Bethlehem. Well, it sounds like a good argument, unless you've ever read the Bible. If you've read the Bible in context, you know that Bethlehem was prophesied in the Old Testament, books like Micah, and then clearly enunciated in Matthew. Not only that, the reason, the historical reason for his parents to be in Bethlehem is given in historical accounts like that written by Dr. Luke. He said that Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So it does give the historical basis for why Joseph and Mary happened to be in Bethlehem when Jesus Christ was born, in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. So he makes what I would call dogmatic assertions without defensible arguments, and that's kind of how the liberal fundamentalists work. They only accept philosophical naturalism, which is to say they're closed-minded. They never open their mind to the possibility that there are both supernatural as well as natural explanations for what we encounter in the universe. Therefore, they have to, at the very start, rule out a virgin birth. They have to rule out prophecy. Reason is because they, again, only allow for natural explanations. They rule out supernatural explanations a priori, prior to examination.
Yes. I brought this knowing that you have so many listeners that I really wanted to bring this up so people can hear all this. Because he presents so many errors on the chronological sequences and dates, location findings, and the credibility of the word written by the disciples in different gospels. And it was pretty disturbing to me. I'm an avid reader of the Bible, and I studied the Word of God. And it really got me into a point where I was there standing and looking side to side. I mean,
yeah, I'm in the process of writing a book right now called Has God Spoken? A book that demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And I deal with all their arguments with respect to the manuscript evidence. They say very classically that there are more mistakes in the manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament, and that's a way of undermining the biblical text. But what they don't tell you is that the differences are differences of spelling and style, not differences of substance. That's number one. They also don't tell you that through the science of textual criticism, it is very easy to ferret out the mistakes and to get back to the autographa. So what they're making a mountain out of a molehill. Also, from an archaeological perspective, they make all kinds of bizarre statements. Statements such as, well, David was really non-existent, or if he did exist, he was a petty hilltop chieftain. He was not a mighty monarch, and these kinds of things. Now, again, they're dogmatic assertions without defensible arguments, but I deal with all of this in that book. I demonstrate that with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, the evidence has accumulated to such an extent that it is now hard to deny that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, unless you have a bias in that direction. In other words, unless you're a person that says, don't confuse me with the facts. Then I also go through predictive prophecy, and I demonstrate that the Bible, in terms of its prophetic prowess, can never be pawned off to good luck or good guessing or deliberate deceit or even common sense. For example, Daniel is able to give a succession of nations from Babylon to Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who was the Syrian, Greco-Syrian beast that ultimately was overwhelmed by Judas Maccabeus, which was very unlikely. So Daniel's writing in the 6th century is able to say with great precision what's happening in the 2nd century before Christ. And the anti-supernaturalist looks at this and says, look, this is so like history that Daniel had to be writing after the fact rather than prophesying beforehand. But I give all the evidence why that can't be true and why you have to, again, be closed-minded to believe such a thing. So I go through this book and I give all of the evidence that the Bible is in fact divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and I counter these theologically liberal fundamentalists from the left that are trying to undermine the Bible.
When that book is coming out, brother?
It's coming out third quarter of next year.
That's great. I hope all listeners put attention, and this is a very disturbing book. It shouldn't be out there. I appreciate your time. God bless your work. You're a great man of God. I appreciate it.
Appreciate your call, Noah. Appreciate your kind compliments as well. All of us need to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. One of the books that I have available right now that might help you read the Bible for all it's worth is Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. It's a little flip chart. It's 4x6 you can put in your pocket or purse, but it gives you the principles of the art and science of biblical interpretation. And again, it is available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And this little booklet in and of itself would keep a lot of fundamentalists from the left from dispensing with the Bible, because oftentimes they dispense with the Bible because they don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Bart Ehrman, I mentioned him earlier. He's the chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He says that Jesus Christ was a false apocalyptic prophet. But again, the reason he says that is because he doesn't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. If you look at his argumentation, it's quite sad, especially for someone who is a professed expert in religious studies. Again, you will not fall into that trap if you get this little flip chart, Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Brian, listening on the web in Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Hank. God bless you and the ministry of CRI. It's been a great blessing to my family. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, I just attended a small group setting, and they I'm new to this church, and they started using something called the Story-Formed Way, based off a church in Soma Communities Church. And I was just curious, they basically, if you brought a Bible to the small group, you have to put the Bible on the table, and nobody can open a Bible during the small group. And the gospel is presented in sort of a in a story way. And I guess the basis for this was to give people who are unchurched or unbelievers, who basically have no basis of understanding of the Bible or what the Bible is, a way of understanding it in simpler terms. Now, as someone who's listened to CRI and listened to the Bible Answer Man for almost 20 years, this was very disturbing. So they said afterwards, you know, you can ask questions, you could reference the Bible afterwards, but not during the small group. So it seemed to be sort of distilling down the Bible to chunks that people could understand, but I was of the mind that, you know, we should really be reading the Bible. So just want to know your thoughts, if you'd heard of this Story-Formed Way thing, and what your thoughts are.
You know, I have to confess I have not, so I can't comment on the essence of what they're attempting to do, but your characterization certainly gives me cause for red flags, just as you have communicated. I mean, the last thing we want to do is get away from the Word of God. Whether you are someone who is a baby in the faith or someone who is mature in the faith, the Word of God is life-giving, And the Word of God is so simple that a child can understand it while being so complex that a theologian can drown in it. So I remember reading the book of John at one level many, many years ago, and today reading it at a completely different level because I've grown in my ability to understand the Bible for all it's worth. But certainly as a new believer, I would never say that the book of John had little meaning for me. It had great meaning for me. That meaning has only intensified over time. And I would say also that the biggest problem from my perspective in the evangelical Christian world today is biblical illiteracy. I don't call it a problem. I call it the problem. So the last thing I want is for people to get away from the Word of God. I want people to get into the Word of God. And that's precisely why I've developed resources that teach them how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll stick it out for a while and maybe change from within, or maybe I can glean their deeper purpose here. But as somebody who's grounded, as I've been through your ministry, I always have my watchful eye out, and I appreciate everything CRI has done. God bless you, Hank. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your encouragement. It is deeply appreciated, and we want to thank all of you for joining us on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air. You can simply call 888-ASK-HANK to get that question on air. And our resources are always available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultant is always standing by at 888-7000-CRI. And don't forget the Christian Research Journal. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It's an award-winning magazine, and it is a publication that no Christian home should be without. It is excellent not only in terms of its presentation, but also in the excellence of its copy. It is well researched. It is information that you can rely on. It edifies, equips, exhorts, and encourages you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian Research Journal, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's an award-winning magazine. Order online at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Here at the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years, and we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you have been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The number of patients seeking plastic surgery has skyrocketed in the past decade. In his article titled Self-Esteem from a Scalpel, The Ethics of Plastic Surgery, Richard J. Poupard explains how we can discern when it is appropriate to seek the aid of plastic surgery. The new atheists call God's commands to kill the Canaanites genocide. Yet a closer look at the horror of the Canaanites' sinfulness reveals that God's reason for commanding their death was not genocide, but capital punishment, as described by Clay Jones. Other articles include Should Christians Be Environmentalist? The Negative Effects of Margaret Sanger, Television as the New Literature, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.